Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I gotta tell you, I am happy for Kendall Vildor. Kendall Vildor, the victim of the face mask bomb reception in the NFC Championship game. You know, we've pointed out that he was on the field because of all the injuries last year. And, you know, he's not supposed to be in that situation. And as a CB5 or CB6, no team is going to have like an elite player there. So we shouldn't give him such a hard time, but it was sort of emblematic of where they were last year. And now, he came into that game in an emergency break glass situation and acquitted himself just fine, if not played very well. The hold he had was a fine penalty given the time and the score. Just don't give up the deep ball. Yeah. Defensive holding 5 yards on an automatic first down is way better than a 50-yard completion. He was involved in a pass breakup play. I'm very happy that Kendall Vildor came through.
Yeah.
And I, you know, he's the one thing, probably the biggest endorsement of Kendall Vildor is that he's still on the team. Right? They had an entire offseason to replace him. They had an entire offseason to say, we'll go in a different direction. And they stuck with him. And, you know, that's a little bit telling that, okay, got it. And that face mask reception is one of the brutal realities of what happened last year in the NFC title game. And what I call a confluence of unlikely events that all had to happen with drop passes, 2 drop passes from a reliable receiver, a fumbled quarterback center exchange, the face mask reception that instead of being intercepted or at the very least incomplete, set up a first and goal and led to 7 points. Like all those things, they're so unlikely, all happened in the course of about two quarters of football, back to back to back to back. And so Vildor, I take my hat off to you, and I am very, very happy for Kendall Vildor. Very, very happy.
Yeah, I am too. I think I'm glad you brought that up because it was kind of like a redemption game for him. And yep. Great job.
248-539-9797. Back to the people. We go to Ed in Ann Arbor. You're next. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call this morning. Look, I'm going to get right to champ and chump. My champ is Jack Campbell. In the first quarter, on a sail, he blitzed. Darnold got the pass off. And, man, he hit him almost as hard as the linebacker hit Gibbs. And it turned him back into Sam Darnold. I mean, it was a miracle. It was unbelievable. He was never the same after that.
They hit the quarterback a lot in that game. He got hit 10 times. And you consider that It was just awesome. Every 25% of the time he dropped back to throw a pass, he got hit and hit hard. And they never got called for an unnecessary roughing or roughing the quarterback. They
worried
never
me
got
a couple times.
Well, my chump is everybody that does not take Dan Campbell literally. He told you this was going to happen. He told you how his guys were going to respond, and he's been as crystal clear as a piece of glass the whole time he's been here, and we second-guess him, and this and that and the other. And look, man, stop. We're on this trip. This is for real. This is like 1969. The Jets, the Mets, the man in the moon, Michigan beats Ohio State. We get a president who's a criminal. It's history. Put it all in context. It's a beautiful thing, man. Enjoy this, Gator.
I think a lot of those things, yeah, I'm not sure they're all beautiful. But, hey, look, it's incredible that the Lions are doing what they're doing. And the Dan Campbell doubts about the fourth down stuff, right? That's where it comes from. And there's two things about Dan Campbell that you have to keep in mind, because when you decide to pass on field goals and somewhat sure field goals, and he did it a couple of times in a game, and the score 17-9. When it was 17-9, in those drives, the two touchdown drives the Lions had, they had easy field goals. And he passed on easy field goals and went for first downs and got touchdowns out of those drives. So instead of having 3 points, he had seven. And then later, instead of having 3 points, he had seven. And so that's four added points by Dan Campbell the first time, four more the second time. The score 17-9. There's your 8 points. The Lions were leading that game 17-9 because of Dan Campbell decisions. And then the most interesting one of all, when they were up 15, fourth and two at the Vikings, 7-yard line late, and he had a chance to kick a field goal and go up three scores, and he was going for it. And I'm sitting there going, you have to kick the field goal.
Everybody.
You have to go up three. My dad is like, you have to kick the field goal. Freddie Frito. And I'm like, when he sent the offense, I said, unless this is all just to try and get him to jump off sides.
Yeah, I was, Stoney and I were like, you got to kick it. You got to kick it. And then there's like 10 seconds left on the play clock. And I said, oh, they're not going for it. They're trying to draw him offside because it's close enough. If worst case scenario, either they take the timeout or they just go back 5 yards, they're going to kick it. And then the Vikings jumped offside. They got the Vikings to jump. What?
Yep.
They fell for it, man.
I can't believe they fell for it.
And you know what the thing is? That was half a distance to the goal. It wasn't an automatic five. So they actually, you know, they still got the first down, of course, because it was like a fourth and two or whatever. But they knew all this, and it was set up perfectly. They'd Gator, you were at the game.
Yep.
Doug and I were watching at home. Collinsworth pointed out they had been using the same word to set up the snap every single time. But this time, when they called it, it was a dummy call. And they were never going to snap it. So I think they were using the word turbo, was it, Doug?
Yeah,
or something
it was
like that.
Turbo
so every time they said turbo hut, turbo set, they were going to snap it. They did it that time, but didn't snap it. And the Vikings jumped off sides. It was brilliant.
It was such an incredible play because it was the backwards world we're living in. The Lions were the team that jumped off sides on critical downs historically.
Jared Goff afterwards said that they've been working on the play all week. And I'm like, you have to work on this play?
Well,
but I guess so. You know, that they. So he's had a wry smile on his face while he was talking about it because he's, yeah, we knew. I mean, we were hoping it was going to get a chance to do it, and they did it, and it worked.
Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
It's a glorious morning.
Sure is.
you kind of stole my thunder on this comment, but I'm going to say it anyway. Not to get in Sam Darnold's head, but I think they rattled his cage. They're hitting him quite often early on in the game, constantly hitting him, even when he got the ball off. And I think that produced a lot of errant throws, a lot of, rushed throws. And I think they did a real number on him.
There's no question. I mean, he had the famous line that everybody references from early in his career about seeing ghosts. And yesterday he looked like that version of Sam Darnold as the game went on. And it's a product of the way the Lions defended it. It's a product of how much the Lions hit him. And, yeah, it's finding that guy's kryptonite and exposing him to it. And that's that, you know, it's easier said than done. You have to pressure the quarterback. You have to hit the quarterback. Everybody wants to. Everybody says, well, this is part of our goal. They did it. They did it, and it made a difference.
Yeah. One more thing before I leave you. Pre-game, they interviewed Jefferson. This girl was walking on the sidelines with him. He had sunglasses on and a hoodie. Now, she asked him, can anybody cover you? And he says, nobody can cover me. And he was bragging about his ability to get open and make plays. And I just laughed about that after the game. I thought, boy, they taught you something.
Well, they had a great game plan. And I think to be fair, I think the Lions double covered him quite a bit.
They did, but and there were plenty of plays that he was open and Darnold just couldn't make the throw. But I don't want to take any credit away from Amik Robertson for getting the job done.
248-539-9797. We got open lines. Get your champ and chump votes in. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize only in auto and truck accidents. Many law firms don't specialize but focus on many different areas of the law. So when you look at the numbers, Michigan Auto Law has had the largest auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. Michigan Auto Law has also had the largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. They care more, so you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. The pride of Thibodeau, Amik Robertson, following the Lions win over the Minnesota Vikings 31-9. The best formula against that team, and I think the best version of this defense, is hold opposing teams to FGAs, field goal attempts, be tough in the red zone. They got turnovers on downs in the red zone. They held them to field goal attempts. They were outstanding. And lowest point total of the year for the Minnesota Vikings. This is Darnold's passer rating the last 7 weeks: 107, 116, 111, 157, 74-1, 123, 116. Yesterday, 55. This was the best defense he has faced in about 8 weeks. And the Lions, you know, to do it with the personnel they have, credit Alex Anzalone for coming back. Aaron Glenn, you masterful, beautiful defensive bastard. You are awesome in every way. When they showed the shot of him on the sidelines with his legs crossed and his arms up, just chilling late in the game,
just satisfying.
It was such a great, I was like, if he looks into the camera, this will become such a meme. And he was just sitting there with his legs crossed, like, we've done some work, boys.
Someone get that man a cigarette, right?
He, he was absolutely... it was a masterful performance.
He's just wearing a sweatshirt that says, you're welcome.
Right. Where's that shirt? Yeah. The Lions making shirts out of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hashtag, you're welcome.
Got some scheduling predictions that I'm going to make. Two of them today at 11:30. 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Let's go to Chip and Troy. Hi, Chip.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Me too. So I want to get my champ and chump for the weekend.
Yes, champ, let's hear it.
Yeah, champ Aaron Glenn for shutting down the Vikings with spare parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then chump, I feel like every time, most of the time I call into y'all's show, I complain about this, the replay officiating crew. I think it was in the fourth quarter, the one that went in the Lions' favor where they said it was incomplete. I did not think that was incomplete, and I didn't see anything that was indisputable to me. And then the other one that wasn't in the Lions' favor, I believe they called it a catch and fumble on the field. And after I saw the replay, I only looked at it once and said, oh, that's definitely a catch and fumble. And some idiot overturned it. I don't know what's going on here. So
I don't know if they showed it. You're talking about the Hockenson catch, not a catch one, right?
That's one. And the other was Justin Jefferson.
So the Hockenson one, they showed an angle during a commercial break that we got in the press box of it was from behind Hockenson. And you could see that the ball, definitely the back end of the ball is hitting the ground.
okay, I mustn't have not seen that then. But still, the other one, that was just terrible.
So I look for, you know what's funny is the way I've come to understand the catch, not a catch rule is you got to do, once you have the football secured it, it sounds like you have to do three things, which is either three steps or tuck it away and take two steps or
the fumble thing.
Make a move and take two steps. Or make two moves and take one step. I thought he tucked it away and took two steps, but hey.
Yeah, he did, at least from what I saw.
Yeah.
So, yep. And Doug, I know you say maybe they should get rid of it. My suggestion, I'm curious what y'all think about this. Whenever a ref overturns a call, so in other words, he saw indisputable evidence, he has to provide either photos or video clips of the of what he used to overturn
like
that
the
call.
League could release
this is just
that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so they're never going to get rid of it. I guess I'll just say that the outcome of what we've gotten out of adding replay, I don't think we're any more satisfied with officiating, and now games take longer. Do they correct some stuff? Yeah. Does it still make people super frustrated? Yep. But it's a very unpopular take of mine. 248-539-9797. Thank you for phone call. Andrew in Royal Oak, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, you too.
Excellent.
Hey, I hope my voice comes through okay because I was shouting for 3 hours last night. It was an unbelievable environment. Shout out to One Pride Detroit. I am done with anyone doubting this city, this team. No new year, new me. Maybe the year needs to adjust to me. I think I'm doing okay. And I think Detroit's doing fabulous. Hey, shout out to, I'm going to give you a champ and chump. Champ, my beautiful girlfriend, Stephanie, amazing woman, surprised me with tickets to this game. Me and her went.
Wow.
Had a fantastic time. First time I've been since 2011 to a preseason game with my dad, rest in peace, who never got to see this team. And tickets were so cheap, we could sit behind the bench five seats up and nobody was around us. Chump, man, the Vikings offense, I've looked through the box scores for that team this whole season. I've never believed in them. Thought they were the most fraudulent team in the NFL. I can't believe they've been scraping away wins this whole year, and especially TJ Hockenson, man. I liked him when we drafted him. Never liked Quinn and Patricia, but man, I am so happy every time I see that quote that he had about, now that I'm in Minnesota, I can finally win some games. It just feels so sweet when we beat a division rival like that.
Yeah,
now,
you know, it's interesting because he didn't, like, he was here and he didn't ask, you know, to leave. And I had that thought too. They traded him and they upgraded. The stat regarding Sam Laporta is that his 2-year run here is the most catches by a tight end in the history of the league for 2 years. They had that on the Lions postgame show. That is amazing. And how they traded him, got draft capital, and upgraded with a second-round pick at the position. And Hockenson, they went to Hockenson 4 times. The first 3 possessions on third down, their drives ended going to Hockenson on third down. Couldn't get it to him. You know, it was incomplete. Second drive of the second half, same thing. Third down, they went to Hockenson. Incomplete. These are money downs. These are the downs you win and lose games on. And Hockenson was their go-to guy. And they went to him on third down 4 times, and it was 0-for-4.
I mean, the defense looked amazing in person, seeing the symphony of 11 people running around, communicating, getting stuff off correctly. It was incredible. And again, shout out to the fans, man. It was the most electric atmosphere I've ever been a part of. You cannot hear yourself think. And anyone who always doubts it and thinks it, no, you got to be there. It's unbelievable. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the phone call, Andrew. 248-539-9797. Fred is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Fred.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Great.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, that's good to hear. Hey, my chump for the week is whoever came up with that idea in Minnesota to spend $2 million on tickets. It's supposed to be a great idea, backfired on you.
Oh, I want to follow up on that in a second, but go ahead with your chump.
And my chump is, I haven't heard no one mention it, but my chump is Brad Holmes and the scouting department and personnel department. I know we got this next man up mentality, but where are they finding all these diamonds in the rough to be right there? And, like, we didn't know who shut down their wide receiver last night. I didn't know who he was at the beginning of the year. Now the whole world know who he is.
Yeah, when they Amik Robertson, when they got him from the Raiders, you know, the early scouting report was, okay, this guy's got some ability, but he's undersized, but he's got a lot of game in him. He likes to hit, likes to get involved. And he, if I recall correctly, wasn't somebody who was healthy the whole time he was with the Raiders, but he also wasn't really given an opportunity to start. He got his opportunity here with the Lions. They believed in what he had, and he was able to convey that after the game that he was very grateful that they believed in him, because throughout his life, people have doubted him because of his size. And it's, you know, he's one of those guys, it's about the size of the fight in the dog, not the size of the dog in the fight. And he was great last night.
Yeah, you can never doubt nobody for their size. I'm over 6 feet, and some of the hardest hits I ain't got is by a little dude. So,
hey, appreciate the phone call, Fred. All right, so what's the best? I kind of missed this whole story. I know that the Vikings spent $2 million on buying up their allotted tickets at face value. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, they turned around and sold them to their own fans at face value, who then proceeded to go to the open market and resell them for way above face value.
The number of allotted tickets is significantly less than what they did. What they went out and did was go out and buy 1,900 tickets on the secondary market. And okay, they spent $2 million to do that. And then what they were going to do was sell them back to the Viking fans, season ticket holders,
yep,
at a very discounted rate in some cases. So these tickets were, they could have been, you know, $500, $700 tickets that they were selling for like $200. That was the plan. And they hoped that the fans would then not, what they said was, please do not resell these on the market. Well, you know, when the Vikings fans get tickets, they buy the tickets for, say, $200, and then they see that, wait a minute, I can sell this for $500, and what did I do? Nothing? Like, I don't want to, what am I going to do? I got to buy an airline ticket to get from Minnesota to Detroit. I don't want to do that, because that's going to cause, this is turning into like a $1,500 or $2,000 experience. How about I just sit at home, sell the ticket online, and make $300 without batting an eyelash? Because when I look behind a Vikings bench, which is where they wanted to get all those seats,
yeah,
the 1,900 Vikings seats, no, sir. There were definitely some Viking fans, but there were not 1,900. I don't think there were 1,000 of them behind the bench. I question if there were even a couple hundred behind the bench. I just didn't see it. There were pockets throughout the stadium, but not the ones that they were talking about.
And then, yeah, so those fans, Viking fans, guys, that they sold their tickets, they end up selling to like ticket scalpers. They didn't know that. And then those scalpers would sell those $500 tickets for like $900, $1,000. So these tickets were getting passed around like crazy. The Vikings, listen, last night they were going for it on fourth down when they normally don't. They also tried to do a takeover, which we do organically here. Yeah, the Lions, right, do the takeover at other stadiums. Hey, like Kendrick Lamar said, you're not like us. All right, don't try to be like us. You're not like us. They tried to do something and force something. It didn't work out for them. It was ridiculous.
I give them credit. No, put it this way. If the Lions ownership were to advertise that they just bought some tickets behind the Lions bench at San Francisco, right? Fans here would be praising the Lions ownership. Look at it. They actually spent money on us. That's awesome. Here we go. But as you mentioned, Lions is organically anyway. The fans travel. I don't know if the Viking fans wanted to travel for this one.
It was a real magnanimous gesture that backfired.
It totally backfired. And yes, it was magnanimous. Nice word.
All right, I'm going to make a couple of scheduling predictions regarding the Lions moving forward. We will get to that today at 11:33. And more of your phone calls and feedback, 97.1 The Ticket. Jared Goff, love the offense getting to sing the praises of the defense. And what a great development it was to see AG put together a plan and then the players to go out and execute against Sam Darnold. And then you'll be able to get the job done. All right, so here's my predictions. Interesting pattern this week with the playoff game start times. It's Saturday, the first game's at 4:30, Chargers at Texans. AFC game. Then 8 o'clock, Pittsburgh at Ravens, AFC game. Then 1 o'clock on Sunday, Broncos at Bills, AFC game. Then it goes Packers-Eagles, NFC game at 4:30. 8 o'clock, Commanders at Buccaneers, NFC game, 4:30. And then Monday, Vikings-Rams, NFC game. I suspect, Gator, I think it's a pretty solid supposition, that the following week for the divisional round, with the NFC going 4:38 and most importantly Monday, they won't play NFC games on Saturday, will they?
I wouldn't think so.
I think there's a high probability that the Lions' first playoff game will be Sunday, January 19th.
I mean, I suppose...
It seems awfully unlikely that, because that would set up the possibility, or the, I guess it would set it up, that the winner, that the Vikings could beat the Rams and have to play Monday, Saturday. And I can't imagine they do that to a team. Doesn't seem likely, does it?
It does not.
So if you're wondering when the Lions might play their first playoff game, I would strongly suspect that it would be the 19th, and the start times for those games are either 3 o'clock or 6:30.
Well, I prefer that to a night game.
Well, and it goes so far on CBS's website, it says the winner of the Monday wildcard game will play Sunday in the divisional round. So if it's Minnesota, then it's apparently guaranteed that it'll be Sunday. But I bet this would be a Sunday start. Here's my second prediction.
All right.
Did you see the opponents for next year have been named?
I did see that, yeah.
Okay. So the Lions next year will play their six division games, obviously. The division that they just won and swept, winning all six division games, went 6-0. They will also play the NFC North next year. I'm sorry, the NFC East. Not the NFC North. We are the NFC North. They play the NFC East, which is Dallas, Philly, the Giants, and Washington. The AFC North, which is Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Baltimore. And then they'll play three positional games, which are Kansas City, Baltimore, and the LA Rams. The way they set up home and road,
so unfair.
The AFC has the 9 home games, which means more AFC teams will play an international game. And the AFC road games the Lions have are at Cincinnati, at Kansas City, and at Baltimore. I'll bet money the Lions open an international game on like a Wednesday against Kansas City, Baltimore, or Cincinnati.
You think they'll open the NFL season?
Open the NFL season against one of those teams in like Brazil or Mexico City or something like that. Not that anybody cares right now, but that's my BAP. Yep.
I think that's bold. I do think that they're going to play an international game. But you're calling your shot with one of those games.
Yep, I think it's going to be Baltimore, Cincinnati, or Kansas City to open the season in an international game.
Okay.
Lions are big ratings number right now.
They are. What a schedule, man. My God.
It's impossible.
I feel like they should be playing the aliens on Mars to start the season next year.
Their road games include...
God, it's ridiculous.
At Philly, who won their division. At the Rams, who won their division. At Baltimore, who won their division. At Kansas City, who won their division, and then a couple other really good teams, at Cincinnati and at Minnesota. And obviously, at Green Bay, and actually, but that's at Washington. That's 7 great opponents they're playing on the road. Of course, they just went undefeated on the road and beat a bunch of teams that are going to the playoffs on the road, but isn't that crazy? They go 9-0 on the road next year. They pull that off? Wow.
Yeah, that would seem unlikely.
Yeah.
And this is, I guess this is just the NFL trying to, just level things out?
No, as I mean,
it's a first place schedule.
It's all formula.
I know it's all formula.
But
man.
I don't like the formula.
They like the best teams playing the best teams is what they like to do.
They like TV ratings, numbers, and that gets them. 248-539-9797. John's in Orchard Lake, and he's on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, John.
Hey, happy Monday, and another step forward toward the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I was on my way down to the game yesterday and listening to Costa and Rico talking about the keys of the game, and... They said, got to have 3 stops. This defense has to have 3 stops You know, that means, you know, turnover on downs. That means takeaway. We'll even count if they hold them to a three-point field goal. And I'm sitting there in the and I agree totally. I said, yeah, that sounds right. I'm sitting there in my seats counting these. By the end of the first quarter, they had three stops. By the end of the first, and I'm going, I'm high-fiving everybody. We're there, guys, three stops. But it's 7-3. And by the end of the first half, I think they had five or six stops, you know, and it's 10-6. And I'm going, how many times are they expecting this defense to stop these guys? And I guess at the end of the day, the answer was every drive. By their definition, they stopped them on every drive. They didn't get in the end zone. That it was just mind-boggling. I was flabbergasted. I was so blown away. I kept saying, guys, I got to get home and watch this game in slow motion. How are they doing this? I just couldn't wrap my brain around how is this happening.
It was incredible.
How is this defense? Come on, everybody's counting on, you know, it's going to be a shootout, and it becomes a defensive game, and for sure the first half, and even the second, our defense stepped up. Champ, Amik Robertson, I mean, come on. And he's white on rice on the number one receiver in the league. It was just amazing to watch, sitting there watching this whole game, just going, my God, who is this guy? And then Chump, obviously, Sam Darnold, just watching him there. Now, obviously, it was our defense all over him that made him such a chump, but it was crazy to watch drive after drive after drive. How many times they're in the red zone and how many chances they had, and that he just couldn't do anything. After a while, he was afraid of his own shadow. It seemed like, you know, it was unbelievable.
It was an incredible defensive effort. You know, all the things that were stressed before the game turned out to be true. I mean, they got obviously more than three stops and field goal attempts and pressuring Darnold and all of those things. It played itself out. Offensively, I think it was different than we expected. Credit Minnesota's defense for that. There was one play, though. That probably the game pivoted on. We will get to that today at 11:48. Plus your phone calls and feedback. More of your Champ and Chump votes. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Hey, I know you see them in the red, white, and blue trucks. They are everywhere. They're out there to help you with all of your plumbing issues. You got any plumbing issues, these are people you call. Birmingham Plumbing Heating and Cooling. They can get your 2025 started with some peace of mind. Don't just take my word for it. They've got a ton of five-star reviews on Google. Plus, they've got an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. These guys know what they're doing. Whether it's your furnace or a water heater or a boiler or water filtration, whatever the problem is, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing Heating and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Alex Anzalone following the Lions 31-9 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Lowest point total of the year for the Vikings. And the Lions did it with that defense. That defense and those hands. They got the job done. Gator, I thought the game came very, very dangerously close to turning. And maybe if we were doing Minnesota radio, I think there'd be things I'd be very, very concerned about moving forward. But then there'd also be things that I'd be building hope around. Van Ginkel almost had a pick six on a wide receiver screen.
Yep.
I have no idea how he didn't catch that football. It appeared to be in his hands and he was away. He was gone. It was 17-9 at the time. It was early fourth quarter, I believe, when that happened. And that's a play you have to make. Now, there are other plays that the Lions, I'm sure, would say that they had to make. If Van Ginkel makes that play, and that might have been the Lions, you know, the when we talk about the unbelievable self-inflicted wounds that they had against San Francisco, that might have been one coming back to help them. If Van Ginkel makes that play, and I'm doing Minnesota radio, I'm building the case around a very makeable play that was missed, the same thing we did with the Lions. My huge concerns if I were doing Minnesota radio is how the Lions got to Sam Darnold. Because we may see this rematch 2 weeks from yesterday at Ford Field. And if if I'm a Minnesota talk radio host, I'm like, I don't know what happened with Darnold in that game, but I'm a little worried that this defense has the secret formula.
Well, they certainly bring pressure all the time. And up until last night, and I guess, you know, statistically, they handled it. But Goff had really done a nice job against the blitzing teams that, that Flores brings at him with his defense from Minnesota. Last night looked like it was in his face a little bit more. And that Goff was struggling a little bit. And yet his overall numbers, what was he, 27 out of 33? Two passes. One was a tipped interception. Another one on fourth and inches was tipped. That would have been a monster gain.
Yep.
And then he threw the arm punt interception on first down, which you don't want to throw an arm punt on first down. Otherwise, he was spot on. I get concerned always with an offensive line just because I know how vital it is to the Lions' success. You give Jared Goff time and you're done. You're absolutely done. And even when you're not giving him time because the blitz is coming, you're done because he can handle it. It all starts with the offensive line and the run game, being able to block that because it's got to keep people honest. The safeties play a little shallower because of that, and they have the recipe for it. But to your point with the Van Ginkle play,
yeah,
it I believe was 17-9 at the time, and it was a first down play for the Lions. They just this is in the second half, and it totally changed because once he doesn't make that pick,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lions come down and it's like four plays later to score a touchdown.
It was a scary moment. Like, I think everybody's heart skipped a beat.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Because it would have totally changed things because that starts the second half when you get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you look at the play that happened right before halftime with the kick out of bounds. And then the Van Ginkle mishap. That's two plays right there. Total swings. 10-point swings. You know, and...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in a better position to stop the Lions at that point. I mean, it's at that point you're leading 19-17.
Yeah, sometimes games are just about taking advantage of the opportunity that you are given. You know the Vikings didn't take advantage of that opportunity, and guess what the Lions did? They did. They went down and scored. Right? You kicked the ball out of bounds. We're going to cancel out the field goal you just did because, bam, bam, we're in field goal range. Take the opportunities given to you, or take the opportunity, you know, take advantage of the things that you make up for yourself. Like when you set yourself up for success, and the Lions took advantage of those things last night.
I think both teams went into last night expecting it to be kind of a shootout.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know the Lions are well aware of this. They go for it on fourth down. We see this all the time. They go for, I think, on 30% of their fourth downs, they actually go for it, regardless of down and distances. That's just what it is. And we've become accustomed to it. That's what Dan Campbell's offenses do. They go for it. And they convert, which is awesome. But I feel like the Vikings got caught up in that game thinking, you know what, this is going to be a shootout. We have to score touchdowns. We can't settle for field goal.
It's a point, Kang, you made early in this season or late last season that the way Dan Campbell coaches is influencing the way the opponent coaches. Like they're trying to keep pace. It has such a net positive in so many ways. Because one of the reasons why Dan Campbell can do it is because he's got the safety of having a quarterback and a number of pass catchers and an offensive line that he can count on to come through in these moments.
It's who they are. You know, they stay true to who they are. They say it all the time. You know, we play the way we play. And when other teams stray away from the way they play, it's not natural for them. You know, they're doing things that they haven't done all year. Like, we don't go for it on fourth and goal. We kick the field goal. But now you play the Lions, and you feel like on edge, you're doing things you don't normally do. You know, Sam Darnold, he's overthrowing guys. He's not seeing guys that are open. It's because the Lions are forcing you to play their game. And that's, you know, last night was a culture win. You know, like, next man up mentality, everyone says it around the league. But when you have a real culture, you're able to come through and follow through with that. And that's what the defense did yesterday. Aaron Glenn and the players, they plug and play because the culture says so.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Aiden in Dearborn Yard, 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Aiden.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Listen, man, I was feeling every emotion last night, not only because my Lions finally got the number one seed, 15-2, but also because I lost my fantasy championship by 0.9 points. So it was rough.
Oh.
But listen, man, I got to tell you, Aaron Glenn finally stepped up. I wasn't happy with all the talk about how, you know, he finally stepped up. And after everyone said, you know, he has all these guys out, it's going to be a shootout, we can't expect the defense to step up at all, he showed that he is an NFL head coaching candidate. He can do it. He can succeed with the pieces he has.
What do you mean that's, finally that's, showed up? They've been playing the better part of two years.
Right. I'm saying after the week of everyone saying he can't do it, it's going to be a shootout.
No, don't say everyone.
Yeah, and you're saying finally showed up. They've shown up every week. They've had a couple of games defensively where they've given up some points. Yeah,
I don't know if they've shown up every week, but they've shown up defensively.
I would not say finally shown up.
Right. I'm saying this week, as far as after all the talk, he put the pieces together. He did what he needed to do to win this game.
Right.
Well, that I'd agree with.
Yeah, that I agree with. Yeah. But you said finally. After all this time, finally they put it together. And that's not the case. They've been putting it together for most of the season.
Right. But regardless, he did what he needed to do. He had these pieces that he just, I mean, what a game defensively. What a game. And he really is. He's just stepped up and shown that he could be an NFL head coach. So I hope to keep him next year.
Well, I would suspect that game was probably bullet point one on his resume. I mean, I would have made it sounds like. I mean, we've had reports today that the Jets and New Orleans have asked to speak with him. Ben Johnson, there's been requests to speak with him.
Apparently, Ben Johnson's got, from what I just saw, two interviews lined up this week with the Bears and with the Patriots.
And Aaron Glenn has, I mean, that's really good film for Aaron Glenn. That is really good film. Fred in Waterford, you're on 97 on a ticket. Hi, Fred.
Hey, this is Fred from Munkle. How you doing?
Hi, Fred.
I'm gonna do my champ and chump first, which will lead into what I want to say. Aaron Glenn, champ, just phenomenal strategist. I think the fact that in the last couple of weeks he finds the need to sit down and just chill with the game still ongoing might be an indicator that he doesn't have enough energy to be a head coach. You know, just stick around and be our assistant, please. The chump is NFLPA. I can't believe that you don't hear a thing about them saying, hey, our bodies can only handle 16 games, and that's a stretch. Is there any chance, in your opinion, that they would dig their heels in and ask for a shorter schedule?
Nope.
Players Association can be the one that demands it. If it's super important to them in the next contract negotiation, they may go for it. The problem is it's a moneymaker for everybody, and that determines a lot of decisions. I find that many unions look out for the well-being of the people that they represent. Sports unions, they look out for the financial well-being. I'm not sure they always look out for, and it's kind of a grand statement. I'm not sure that players' unions are always looking out for the physical well-being.
Yeah, I mean, you know, their guys are playing with plates in every part of their body. All you keep hearing week after week is everybody at this stage is playing hurt. I mean, that's inhumane.
Yeah, I think what's going to end up happening, Fred, is they're going to go to 18 games instead of going back to 16. They'll go to 18. They're going to add another bye week.
Bye week doesn't do it, man.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, that's what I would expect to happen. And they'll probably reduce the preseason games, too.
248-539-9797. We do have all the predictions to revisit from last week. And there were some people that were chesty. Nobody had the Vikings with single digits in points. That's how far they exceeded, even the most optimistic expectations. We will get to that coming up at 12:05. Plus, more of your phone calls and feedback, more of your champ and chump votes. The Lions just completed a 15-2 regular season. They are the number one seed. They get the bye, and the road to the Super Bowl goes through Detroit. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.